Mobile Philanthropy Tracker. Hi, I'm Bill Stanjakovich. This is the first day from the Fundraising School, and I'm joined today by my colleague Shosho Khan, also known as Coco amongst her colleagues here at the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, where Coco is a key leader of our research team, including our work on international philanthropy. And Coco, thanks so much for being back with us on the Fundraising School's podcast.
Hi, Bill. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share our research.
So our school, through your leadership, has updated the Global Philanthropy Tracker. What is this report?
Yeah, so the Global Philanthropy Tracker, or GPT, is a really comprehensive research project that examines cross-border giving, more specifically philanthropic outflows from each country, and it further compares cross-border giving to three other major cross-border financial resource flows, including ODA, the official development aid from the government, private capital investment, and remittances. So the GPT provides really a holistic picture of the scale of cross-border giving, highlighting the role that philanthropy plays in addressing society issues globally.
So am I understanding you correctly? This is not measuring necessarily philanthropy within a country that then stays within a country. We're instead measuring the philanthropy that is first maybe developed within the particular nation, but then the financial resources are sent to another country. Is that true?
Exactly. We're measuring basically the contributions from different types of donors from one country to all other countries.
Why is this important? What you folks are so curious, you're always coming up with great questions and, you know, studying these topics. We literally are the best in the world, thanks to you and your research team colleagues. Why is this important? Why did you choose to study this topic?
Yeah, so for one thing, it's really important for us to understand the role that philanthropy plays in global development. So we all know traditionally that ODA, the official development aid from the government, plays an important role historically. And we wanted to see, you know, what actually the role that philanthropy plays. And the data has shown that over the past decade, several decades actually, that we have seen the growth in private philanthropy in global development. So it becomes a more and more important place in this arena, and we really wanted to see how we can measure and really quantify the impact of philanthropy.
Coco, how many countries did you study and how are they selected?
Yeah, so the 2023 Global Philanthropy Tracker Report covers 47 countries, and these countries are at all stages of economic development. So basically including not only high-income countries, but also low-income and middle-income countries. And to be honest, that we are not really kind of the one that select the 47 countries. We did a very broad scan of over 80 countries in our initial research, and we find available data for 47 countries alone.
Yeah, so could you expand on that a little bit more, please? We initially looked for more than 80 nations. You end up settling on 47. What were the types of data you were looking for? And again, therefore, that kind of selected which countries are in the report, because these 47 have those data. What were the types of data that you were searching for that these 47 countries have?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're looking at cross-border giving. Essentially, that includes two parts of the question. So one is the charitable giving actually goes across borders directly to support organizations and causes in other countries. And then we're also counting the donations goes to domestic organizations that focus on international affairs specifically. So we're including those two parts of the charitable donations in our counting of cross-border giving.
If I could just interject, how are those data gathered then? Are they self-reported by the countries themselves? How did you track down these data?
Yeah, so our data on cross-border giving comes from two primary sources, and one is from the publicly available sources. So like, for example, government agencies like central statistical offices or annual reports of organizations. And then we also have local research partners in different countries that shared their data with us.
At the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, we are so fortunate to be an international school. Yes, we're headquartered in the United States, but we train all over the world in person and online, and we're able to disseminate information across the globe, as do our research colleagues, including Coco, who's telling us about the Global Philanthropy Tracker. And again, looking at financial resources that not just are raised in a particular country, but then go cross-border and are sent elsewhere to other nations, or to nonprofits doing work in other nations. Coco, as you look at this year's report, what are some of the key findings that stand out for you and your colleagues?
At the high level, two findings really jumped out for me. So first, we find that cross-border giving from the 47 countries that cover in the report totaled $70 billion in 2020. So this represents about like 8% of the total cross-border financial resource flows from all four sources that we tracked. And to put this figure of $70 billion in perspective, so global cross-border giving is roughly equivalent to the 73rd largest economy in the world by economy. So it means that it's higher than the GDP of 145 economies of over 200 economies together. So this really shows the magnitude of the cross-border giving. Philanthropy is an important player in global development. And then second, cross-border giving had a very small decline in 2020 at only 0.5% when compared to that in 2018. So this demonstrates the resilience of philanthropy. So year 2020, as we all know, is the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic, when many countries faced serious challenges domestically, but philanthropy did not stop or retreat even. Instead, many donors stepped forward and continued to support people in other countries. And the report has lots of detailed findings at the global level and rich data at the country level. So I hope that you find it informative.
Absolutely. And so about $70 billion USD, about 8% of money that is going cross-border to help other countries and to help in a wide range of development activities. And again, if we looked at this as a nation in the world's economy, it would be in the top one-third or so of the nation's economies or of the world's economies. I'm curious, Coco, this may or may not be in the report, but I'm just curious. You mentioned earlier that some of the nations are highly developed, others are still developing, others are still kind of in between. Were there any differences that stood out based on where these particular 47 nations are in terms of their development? And not just the amount of financial resource that went out, but maybe as a percentage of their economy. And where I'm going with that is, we know, for example, here in the United States, some of our neighbors who are on the earlier rungs of the economic ladder actually contribute a higher percentage of their household incomes. Is there anything similar along those lines in this report as we look at philanthropy internationally?
Absolutely. So in the report, we are not only looking at actually dollar amount of the contributions from each country, we're also looking at the dollar amount as a share of the GNI, so gross national income. And we compare countries based on their income level. So basically, we're using the World Bank's income classification of countries, and we compare high income countries together, we compare, you know, middle income countries together, and look at their contributions in both dollar amounts and as a percentage of GNI.
How is this report useful? Let's start with fundraisers. How can fundraisers use this report? What are the implications?
So from our research, we have seen a growing interest among funders to support locally led initiatives and organizations. And for nonprofits that work on international issues specifically, it could be really beneficial to highlight two things in communications with all current and prospective funders. So one is the networks that nonprofits have with various stakeholders in local communities, because that is really crucial to build successful collaborations. And then second is the knowledge and expertise and nonprofits have in order to identify and implement effective solutions to address local challenges.
We receive that question all the time when we train internationally, especially good folks who are in developing nations and saying, there may not be a lot of resource in my particular country. How can I raise resources from around the world? And again, there's no automatic, there's no guarantee, but this report can be a helpful resource to provide some signals, some information, some guides and guidelines and guidance to help you with that kind of work. Coco, I'm also wondering about policymakers. I mean, obviously, whichever nation we're in around the world, there's always this conversation of, you know, our particular national budget, our particular national government expenditure, and how much of that is going to so-called foreign aid or international relief or international development. How can this report be helpful to policymakers, either in a country or in some of our international governing and policy deciding bodies? How can this report be helpful as they're thinking about public expenditures and the role of philanthropy as they're designing solutions across the world?
Yeah, so from the report, since we're really looking at cross-border giving and also compare that to the other three main financial resource flows, so it really shows that a collaboration really works and really important, especially in face of the global crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic. We've seen that philanthropy has been really resilient all during the period of the crisis. And then for policymakers, then it's really important to think about how to best collaborate with all actors in addition to government support. And then one additional thing that I wanted to mention is we also have a sister project called the Global Philanthropy Environment Index. And that really looks at the enabling environment for philanthropy within the country and also across countries. And one of the key factors that we measure in that report is the cross-border flows to see how the environment for cross-border flows receiving and sending supportive or limited to each country. So that offers really useful information as well for policymakers to think about how they can make the policies to better improve the environment for cross-border giving.
The Global Environment Philanthropy Index, which can be used as a companion alongside what we're discussing today, the Global Philanthropy Tracker. Coco, you've been a great help to us today, helping us understand this fascinating report. So intriguing, so useful. We're learning so much from you today. And I know you have a request of our audience that they can help you. How can people help you with the future iterations of this project?
Yes, definitely. So if I may, I really would like to have an open call for information here among listeners of the podcast, because if you know data on cross-border giving from any countries, we would love to hear and include that in the next iteration of the report. And there is a significant lack of data on cross-border giving. As I mentioned previously, we did a scan of over 80 countries and economies, but find data on cross-border giving from only 47 countries. So there is more limited data on cross-border giving by causes supported or by recipient region, then this lack of data really limits our understanding of the role that philanthropy plays internationally. So if we'd love to hear from you, if you know any data on this or any organizations that are tracking data or interest in collecting such data at the country level. And we also would love to know if a finding from our global philanthropy research useful in your work that could help us demonstrate the impact of our work and continue improving our research on this important topic.
So if there are ways you can help our colleagues gather data, or if you're using this report and can tell that story, please send that story to the Fundraising School's email address, tfrs@iu.edu, tfrs@iu.edu. And Coco Smiling, you are such a talented, gifted researcher. You've demonstrated that again today. And of course, you're like, yeah, OK, so we found cool stuff. But, you know, now we have another question. We need more information. Like, pleased, but never satisfied. We're so grateful for you sharing your expertise with us here today.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me.
Shoshan Ko of the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, a leader in our research team. And, you know, when we teach at the Fundraising School, we know that our relative advantage, our greatest strength, is that wherever possible, our curriculum is evidence-based. It's founded in research. That's the benefit we have as being part of a Research One, Tier One research university, where we can translate all sorts of research and of effective fundraising practices, trends in charitable giving, here in the United States, around the world, all of that information then translated into useful, practical, effective fundraising techniques. And our 22 public courses that lead to 4 certificates in person or online. We also can customize training for you where we can take an entire course and bring it to you, or parts of several courses that we can graft together. Whatever you need, we can put that together for you. Again, in person, online, in the U.S., around the world. We have our quarterly webinars and, of course, these weekly podcasts and information gathered in our book, Achieving Excellence in Fundraising, the 5th edition. The website is philanthropy.iueui.edu/the Fundraising School. Our producers today are Jennifer Boffman and Mike Anthony. I'm Bill Stanjakovich. You are now more fully informed on this first day from the Fundraising School.